This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, armed groups have killed 60,000 people in sub-Saharan Africa alone over the past decade. We'll hear how peacekeepers plan to reduce that alarming number. And we'll hear why training's so important for expanding Africa's vital tech sector. But first, there have been huge positive developments in Somalia over the past 4 years, despite the ongoing terrorist threat posed by militants of the Al-Shabaab group, according to the head of UN police in the country. Somalia's first democratic elections in 47 years are underway as the country continues to recover from civil conflict and the ravages of recurrent droughts. Christoph Buick is the police commissioner with the UN Assistance Mission in Somalia, known as UNSOM. He spoke to Daniel Dickinson in our studio at UN headquarters.
We still have the threat from Al-Shabaab all over the country. Out of the community, Al-Shabaab is acting and to plant IEDs. And they try to undermine the state-building process wherever it is possible and where they think it's they have an impact. And we have also regions in Somalia still under the control of Al-Shabaab.
So Al-Shabaab is still a force to be reckoned with?
Yes, but mainly engaging against Al-Shabaab is AMISOM, so the African Union troops in Somalia, together with the Somali National Army. But police, we are trying to build up police in a federated system now in Somalia.
Somalia has been unstable for a long, long time. What do the Somali people say about this? They must have had enough.
Yes, but I must say, if you see the period from 2012 now to 2016, so over 4 years, there's a huge positive development in Somalia with the government in place, and they build up more governance and institutions and structures. It will take a while, but I think they are on a very good way. And we have now the election process ongoing to elect the new government. And I hope that security will be recognized in the future for the new government.
And how are those elections going?
We have some incidents, but overall the election process is going well, but we have delays. The Somalis are very good organized with the help of the UN. So we have a federal institution to help with the government and regional implementation teams as well. And it is not, at the moment, the election, what is going on, is not what we know, one person, one vote. So this is, let's say, what we want to have in place for the next election in 2020.
And presumably these elections are crucial to the future of a peaceful Somalia.
Yes, we have to build up governance and institutions so that the people know the country is growing and is self-sustainable, so that someday the UN can leave the country and that they can carry on with their own system and that they can take her for themselves.
In the past decade, armed groups have been responsible for 60,000 deaths in sub-Saharan Africa alone, according to the head of UN peacekeeping operations. Hervé Ladzous made the remarks at an event to mark the 10th anniversary of Community Violence Reduction Programmes, CVR for short, in peacekeeping. These community-driven efforts aim to combat insecurity and include mediation and development of alternative livelihoods for youth involved in armed violence. Jocelyn Sambira has the details.
The first community violence reduction program was established in Haiti in 2006 to target armed groups operating in urban neighborhoods where gang leaders would use fear and extortion to control the people. Edmond Moulet, the Secretary General's chef de cabinet, has been nicknamed the godfather of CVR. He worked as the UN special envoy and head of the UN mission there in 2006 until 2007, before returning in the immediate aftermath of the 2010 earthquake.
In one operation, we went into a neighborhood, and then the gang leaders or their elements were identifying who in the population would be sympathetic, who would be smiling, who would be in agreement with our security operations. After we left, after we would leave from these places, they would round up the family, the grandmother, the grandfather, the mother, the children, everybody lined up on the sidewalk, and they would execute everybody.
The situation was tough, said Mr. Moulay, but the UN mission soon understood that winning the hearts and minds of the people was necessary to securing the country. CVR is people-centered, engages youth, armed group members, and so-called spoilers to transform lives, he added. This approach has gone global and is now being used in 6 UN peacekeeping missions in Mali, the Central African Republic, CAR, Darfur, Côte d'Ivoire, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC. Increasingly, the line between civilian and combatant is blurred, said Hervé Latsou, the head of UN peacekeeping operations, speaking through a translator. The goals of these armed groups are also very different. Some are political, others criminal or religious, he noted.
And over the years that have elapsed, the non-state conflicts in sub-Saharan Africa have led directly to over 60,000 deaths, and then we also have the other less visible effects beyond the loss of human lives, but we have the socioeconomic cost and the destruction caused by these outbreaks of violence, and all of this is all inextricably bound up one with the other.
CVR is one of the few non-military means in the peacekeeping toolbox to address armed groups. These projects have also helped improve security in some of the most marginalized and violence-prone areas in the world. Jocelyn Sambira, United Nations.
Investing in training is critical to expanding the tech sector in Africa, according to Rwanda's Minister of Youth and ICT, or Information and Communications Technologies. Jean-Philbert Nsengimana said his government had supported tech entrepreneurs and small and medium-sized enterprises by providing a hub where their ideas can be turned into businesses. Mr. Nsengimana has been in Bangkok for an annual gathering organised by the International Telecommunication Union, the UN agency that deals with ICT-related issues. Maximilian Jacobson Gonzalez asked him what needed to be in place to grow Africa's digital economy.
I think leadership comes on top of everything, because leadership defines the vision, mobilizes the people, mobilizes the resources, and drives execution. But I think the next most important is talent. So the leadership needs to put in place a plan for training, and especially the young people of Africa, if we're talking about the digital economy in Africa, but this is valid for everywhere in the world. And thirdly, I believe that funding is important, because traditional funding hasn't been working for the kind of innovation that the digital economy needs to grow. Other parts of the world have found different formulas, but in Africa, we are also finding our own ways to fund our tech talents.
Rwanda has a very active tech, SME and entrepreneur culture. What factors do you think have contributed to making it successful, and how has the government supported SMEs?
We started out with K-Lab, which is a knowledge lab. It's a hub, it's a place where you can just come with an idea or a dream, but then you are helped out throughout the process to materialize that idea and turn it into a business that creates wealth and jobs. And from the K-Lab that is 4 years old, we've seen a movement of tech innovation hubs and labs, some of them by universities, others by private sector. So it's an ecosystem that is being put in place. And the rural government has really been to facilitate that kind of ecosystem to grow and grow faster than it would have grown without the intervention of government.
Now, Rwanda is a member of the Smart Africa Alliance. I wondered perhaps if you could just tell us a little bit about that and why you feel it's important to be a member of that.
Smart Africa Alliance was born in Rwanda in October 2013. During the Transform Africa Conference, President Kagame with his colleagues, other 6 heads of state, decided to launch the Smart Africa Manifesto, which really puts ICT at the center of Africa's development strategies. So leading by example, Rwanda immediately followed up with the Smart Rwanda Master Plan 2020. And I can say that by next year, we want to offer a government that is self-service, 24/7, paperless and cashless.
And finally, I'd just like to ask you, you're here, you've been attending ITU Telecom World very faithfully for a number of years now. I wanted to find out, what's the importance of events such as this for you?
What I really like about the ITU Telecom World is a flavor that comes every year. Every year is special in its own way. And what I like about this year is really the prominence, the importance that has been given to tech startups.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.